Welcome to Florida.
That is the voice of New York Times bestselling author Craig Pittman. My name is Chad Scott, and this is Welcome to Florida. Warning, this will be the grossest episode of Welcome to Florida yet. And Craig, I don't know what you're
we
doing.
Hope. We hope.
Booking these episodes, we've got solid waste and cockroaches and our new sponsorship with Hip Camp trying to invite people into Florida to stay in our wonderful, natural, scenic surroundings. The tourism board is not going to like this one.
Even the Garden of Eden had a snake in it. So, you know, anytime you have paradise, you're bound to have something in there that people are not going to like. And in this case, we're going to be talking about roaches today. A very common Florida topic to talk about, as in, oh my God, it was so huge. Yes. And it flew right at my face.
And you know? We will get to that after septic tanks and solid waste, because Craig Pittman also writes a weekly column for the Florida Phoenix. You can find that online, floridaphoenix.com. This week's column, all about solid waste.
The name of the business in Lakeland, it's called the BS Ranch and Farm. And unlike most ranches and farms, it has no animals out there, no cows and pigs and stuff. What it has is a program where they invite people to bring them their sewer sludge and septic sludge from the pump outs. And they also got, you know, wood chips and other things, expired fruit and so forth. And they pile it up and then they process it and they produce a soil supplement. They've had quite a few run-ins with their neighbors who object to the odor.
Yeah.
And they've had quite a few problems with Polk County code enforcement, and the Cody County tried to shut them down. The state DEP, and this is what really got me interested in it, state DEP found that they were bringing in these they call them biosolids. It's actually toxic sludge, bringing in these biosolids without a license. And so then they work with them to give them a license that's unlike any other license in the state of Florida. And then subsequently found them in violation of it a number of times and even sued them. But now they're considering renewing the permit. The permit expired after 5 years. So now they're, you know, instead of saying, okay, that's it, you're done, they're considering renewing the permit, which has the neighbors freaking out. And one neighbor in particular I talked to said it's not the odor that bothers him so much, although it does bother him.
Yeah.
It's his concern that it's somehow polluting their water there and polluting the water in Lake Hancock, which is part of the headwaters of the Peace River.
Well, in our earlier episode on the Floridan aquifer back in the fall of 2020, the septic tank problem in Florida was critically cited as one of the biggest issues, along with agricultural runoff, to polluting the groundwater supply. You mentioned in the story the incredible volume. You know, we think, septic tanks, and it's a local outfit in Lakeland. 5,000 tons a day? Was that? That is an extraordinary
and that's how much their permit allows.
Yeah. Pile of BS.
Yeah. The list of customers, they're coming from Miami. They're coming from Orlando. They're coming from Pasco County. I mean, basically, anywhere in the Florida Peninsula is showing up there with their poop and depositing it there. And one of their attorneys said they were anticipating making $8 million that year. So there's gold in that there poop.
it's a crappy job, but very lucrative. And with the influx of new residents, and again, so much of the development was not thought out the way it should have been with city sewage and common utilities, this is not a problem that's going away anytime soon. You can read more about
that. I guess that makes it a renewable resource.
Yes, yes. What do they do to process it, as you said, to turn it into the soil supplement, so to speak?
You know, there's some suspicion that they're not really doing that, that their real business is accepting the stuff in and just piling it up. I couldn't really get the owners to talk to me much about their sales or the process that they use or anything like that. But they were guaranteeing me that they were good neighbors and that they were working hard with the DEP to get that permit renewed so they could just keep that sludge flowing.
FloridaPhoenix.com if you'd like to read more, or any of Craig's previous articles about the environment. And again, with all apologies to Hip Camp and any listeners who will be listening to this episode over lunchtime, we do apologize. Solid waste is behind us. Cockroaches are coming up. But in between, we should remind everyone that Hip Camp, if you do own land in Florida, is a great opportunity to create some passive income out of it. Host outdoor enthusiasts on your property with Hip Camp. All you need is a flat spot where someone can pitch a tent or park an RV. So if you've got a place to share, you can get started today. hipcamp.com/land. And we've started to receive a number of testimonials from Hip Camp hosts who are incredibly satisfied with the service. Here's one from a host, Gary. Hip Camp combines community building with profitable return. Win-win for everyone. I'm ecstatic to be sharing my beautiful land. Hip Campers love being here, and I'm able to supplement my income. Another one from Jeremy. The outdoor spaces for campers, the revenue stream for landowners, and the local economic benefit from tourists for the local community creates a win-win-win situation. Check out the reviews online, visit them, call or email for more information. This is a sort of Airbnb for campsites. It's all private folks. Some just want to pitch a tent. Others want to bring a big RV in, and it's all available for you at Hip Camp on your terms. Hip Camp will even handle the insurance for you. So do some research. Find out more at hipcamp.com/land. And if you've got a spot in Florida you're looking to create some passive income off of, they are a great resource for that. Now, aside from septic tanks, Craig, for a lot of people, the worst aspect about life in Florida is all the insects, particularly the roaches.
Palmetto bugs, you mean?
Palmetto bugs. Yes. In the same way that toxic sludge is biosolids.
That's right.
Cockroaches are palmetto bugs. They show up. They're in your kitchen. They're in your living room. We got the ones that fly. They get into your face. Yep. They get into your hair. And in 2018, perhaps the most infamous story, a roach crawled into a Florida woman's ear, and it took 9 days to get out. Dr. Roberto M. Pereira specializes in urban entomology. He conducts research on different aspects of the biology and control of cockroaches, ants, bed bugs, flies, mosquito. He went to years of schooling for this at the University of Florida, all to study the insects and bugs that live around your house that all of us hate. He's got his PhD from UF, where he now teaches.
Florida seems to have more roaches than anywhere else. Is that really the case? I mean, I know a lot of people complain about them or complain about palmetto bugs.
We have a whole lot of bugs. So the climate here is just perfect for a lot of these insects. Florida happens to be kind of a in-between air zone that we get a lot of more tropical bugs, especially in the southern part of the state. And up here in the northern part of Florida, we get some bugs that are more used to a little bit colder weather. And of course, in between, you get everything. The other thing is that Florida has a whole lot of people coming in here from a whole lot of places, especially the Caribbean islands and all of that, when we could travel. Remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that is another avenue for a lot of bugs to come in Florida. We end up having a whole lot of imported or exotic pests in here because of that.
What kind of roaches do we have here in Florida?
Most of the roaches that we deal with here, including the American cockroach, mm-hmm. which is the big cockroach, they're not American. At all. That's the name they got. They are not from here. They are from Asia somewhere. Of course, we have the Asian cockroach, you know, which is a problem in a lot of Florida. They become actually a problem in agriculture too, because they are in mulch and some places, especially organic agriculture, they get into there. The Asian cockroach is really just a little modified German cockroach, which is also not from Germany. The German cockroach is also from Asia. They are very similar. You cannot distinguish them by just looking at them, except that if you throw one up, the Asian cockroach will fly. They actually fly. And if you throw the German cockroach up, it will fall because it cannot fly.
Yeah, the flying cockroaches are the ones I hear about the most, I think. People saying, oh my God, and then it flew right at my face. Mm-hmm. They don't actually fly at your face. It just seems like that, I assume, right?
Oh, yeah. And a lot of the cockroaches do not fly. We have a lot of cockroaches like the Florida wood cockroaches that we have here in Florida. They don't even have wings. A lot of cockroaches, only one of the sexes has wings. Males sometimes don't have wings in some cockroaches. And they don't really fly like you would think in a lot of other insects. Most of them can glide at the most. But some of them are actually good flyers, and they can fly pretty well.
Biologically, scientifically, what makes a cockroach as opposed to any other kind of beetle or insect specifically?
In the evolution of insects, cockroaches are fairly low in the evolution. So insects, we can think there are two types of insects. The insects that have what we call the complete metamorphosis, and the typical thing there, the metamorphosis is the change in shape of the body as the insect develops through the stages and becomes an adult. So the typical case for a complete metamorphosis is a butterfly, right? So everybody's familiar with a butterfly. It starts as a caterpillar, and that caterpillar grows. At some point, it goes into a pupal stage, and you have that stage that it's transforming from the larva to an adult. That's the intermediate stage there. And then the adult looks completely different from that larval stage, right? So these are the most advanced insects. So the ones that are lower in the scale, like the cockroach, when they are born, they look very much like a cockroach, just smaller. And in most cases, the nymphs never have wings. They only get wings when they become adults. But in terms of shape, there is no difference. And there is no intermediate stage between the adult and the nymphs. So once they get to a certain size of nymph, the next time they molt, and they will change their skin, just like we change clothes for ourselves, they become adult, and that's it. In terms of evolution, cockroaches are pretty low. So they have been around for a long time. They are one of the least developed of these insects in terms of evolution and development. And actually, now we know, this was a recent change that we have. The termites and cockroaches, we usually think about them being very different, right? But now the scientists got to the conclusion that the cockroaches and the termites should be grouped together. The least evolved of the termites, they actually eat wood, very similar to there are some wood-eating cockroaches. They are very much similar. And the way they discover this is that to digest the wood, the termites and the cockroaches, they have some protozoa in their guts that help them digest wood. And that's the connection right there. So now we know that termites are just a little bit more evolved cockroaches, but they are placed in the same group.
If only we could find out where they're holding the family reunion, we could just stomp them all at once. Now, I have to ask you, whenever I mention cockroaches to people, inevitably I hear somebody go, what about that poor woman that had a cockroach in her ear for 9 days? Mm-hmm. That was in 2018, and that was here in Florida. Mm-hmm. Does that happen very often? And what was in it for the roach to go into her ear like that?
It doesn't happen very often, unfortunately. But if you live, especially if you live in low-income housing where cockroaches are in tremendous numbers, the chances of you getting a cockroach in your ear probably increase quite a bit, right? I don't know how many cockroaches you have in your houses, but in my house, I don't have too many. So the chances that I will get one in my ear is probably not very good. When that happened, there was a reporter that called me and said, can cockroaches crawl in and why can't they crawl out? There is some myth that cockroaches cannot go backwards. And that's when I got a little transparent tube and I put a cockroach in there. And I filmed that just with my iPhone. And you can see that cockroach can go up, looking forward, but sometimes it manages to go backwards too. So that wasn't the case, that they cannot back up. They can back up. It's probably likely that the cockroach was in the ear, and of course the person feels something, probably tried to scratch the ear or something, probably damaged the cockroach, and that cockroach could not move that well anymore, and that's why it couldn't come out.
Well, I wonder if the wax trapped it as well.
It could be.
Like a flying amber. But why would it go in there in the first place? What's it looking for?
The wax may be a good thing, that it was attracted by the smell and perhaps thought it would be food. Cockroaches do eat grease quite a bit, and the wax in people's ear wouldn't be that much different from grease. It could be that case, but my suspicion is that this house was probably well infested, because you don't hear that case all the time, and it was just a weird coincidence that the high level of cockroach, perhaps the cockroaches were moving more freely and try perhaps going to places never gone before by cockroaches, and one got trapped in there.
It was like the Star Trek of roaches, to boldly go where no roach had gone before. Uh-huh. Other than sleeping with your hands over your ears, how do you prevent that? How do you stop that from happening?
Start by not having too many cockroaches in there. and actually, there is quite a bit that one can do. Here in Gainesville, of course, we have student apartments. I don't know how long ago you were living in a student apartment, but those are not very clean as a general rule.
Yeah.
So I've been to apartments here, and I kid you not, there was one that, for some reason, I have to believe that these were guys and not girls living in this apartment, for obvious reasons.
Most likely.
They were piling their pizza boxes in the middle of the kitchen. And I think they were trying to get to the highest pile of pizza boxes in the world or something like this. And of course, they didn't even bother to eat all the pizza in all of these pizza boxes. So there's plenty of food in that
tower.
Tower of pizza
leaning
boxes.
Tower of pizza.
That's a common occurrence. It's just not having the right hygienic habits, having too much garbage in the house and not get rid of things that can be possibly used as food by insects in general, but especially with cockroach, you will end up, you know, feeding these populations. If you live in an apartment complex and there are 5 apartments for these cockroaches to choose to live in, and one has more garbage that will furnish more food for them, and one has the least garbage and not that much food, they will probably prefer to live in the one that has more food. Our recommendation, if people are trying to control roaches or ants or many of these other things that affect our house, first rule is do not feed them. So, and that's our mistake. We are always feeding these insects. And cockroaches, you know, when we have things open, I invite you guys and your audience to come take a look at our lab here. We have 17 different species of cockroaches in our lab. And what we feed them is...
You mean on purpose?
Yeah.
On purpose, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, we feed them on purpose. What we feed them is what we don't eat at home. We bring it here. They will eat it. Mm-hmm. From my house, there is a banana peel. We bring it here. They eat it. You know, there is a fruit that it's a little not looking too good. We don't want to eat it. The cockroaches will. And unfortunately, people do this type of thing in their own house all the time, is feeding the cockroaches. We always recommend that people close their garbage cans, get rid of garbage as soon as possible. Don't keep garbage in the house any longer than you have to. Maintain a reasonable level of cleanliness. All of this will get rid of cockroaches.
I'll send the information on the Florida insect farm to Visit Florida, and they can put it right between SeaWorld and Universal Studios in the pamphlets. I'm sure you'll be inundated with visitors. And I wanted to loop back to something that Craig said in his first question, this idea of palmetto bugs. And that to me is also tourism nomenclature. We don't have cockroaches. We have palmetto bugs. They're delightful. They always have a smile on their face. And where does that term come from to replace the very gross and icky and spine-tingling cockroach?
Well, a lot of different species of cockroaches do like to live in palms. One, because where the leaves kind of grab the trunk of the tree, there is always some space in between that leaf stem and the trunk. And that's a good hiding place right there. And there are some species of cockroach that actually like to live more outdoors than indoors. That's a place that gets moisture. It's very protected. Other insects will fall in there and get trapped, and the cockroaches can eat that too. Leaf litter and other things will fall in there and cause and decompose, and that decomposed organic matter, the cockroach will eat that too. So it's a good place for a cockroach to be. I don't know where exactly that the palmetto bug expression came from, but yeah, you're probably right that there was somebody that was trying to make something ugly more attractive and change the name. It's just a cockroach. But here in Florida, what people call palmetto bug is not always the same species of cockroach, because there are several species of these larger cockroaches that can live outside and that can get that name. But scientifically, there are three or four different species that get that nickname.
You were talking about hygiene and cleanliness. It seems like, though, no matter where you live in Florida and no matter how well you take care of your house, you're going to wind up with a roach in there somewhere.
That's true. Because we have two different types of cockroach, at least from the point of view of cockroach management. We call some the peridomestic cockroaches, and those are the ones that prefer to live outside of your house, but do come in. And we have some cockroaches that are really the domestic, the ones that will prefer to live inside your house. The typical case of a cockroach that lives inside your house, and that's their preferred habitat, is the German cockroach, the smaller cockroach. And that cockroach you don't really find outside. But the larger cockroaches, the American cockroach, the Australian cockroach, the brown cockroach, and those are all very large cockroaches, very similar to the American cockroach, which is the most common. These cockroaches, they live mostly outdoors and into sewage system, but not necessarily inside their house in terms of preference. Okay, so so they prefer to live outside. So these cockroaches that are living outside, there is a series of things that people can do in order to control them outside. But there are another series of things that you can do to prevent them from entering your house. So having good door seals and sweepers under the door and things like this will prevent these cockroaches from coming from outside to your house. Those that are living in sewage, like the American cockroach likes to live in sewage, if you have the traps in your faucets in the sewer system, that water is there in that trap, that U-shaped curve in the pipe, to prevent gases and insects and everything from coming from the sewage system into your house. So maintaining that trap in good condition is important. Here in Florida, we have a lot of snowbirds, right? So they leave the place for 60 months and that nobody's in that house. Nobody's using the water in the faucets and things. So that trap may get empty because the water evaporates. And that allows cockroaches to come from the sewage into the house.
Okay. So snowbirds would have a bigger problem than people who live here.
If you use your sink every day, you don't run into that problem. This is when you don't use it for an extended period of time, that water can evaporate and go away. Maintaining the house in good condition is a good way to prevent cockroach invasions. And of course, the other thing is, do not feed your cockroaches. And we do this all the time. You're watching TV late in the night, you get a snack and a piece falls under the couch. You don't bother to get that. That is food for cockroach and for ants and other things.
Any of those snowbirds who would like me to exercise their drains, particularly Sanibel Island, Palm Beach, Isla Mirada, I'm available for that kind of work. You can find me on Twitter at Chad Scott, and I'd be happy to help you out there a couple weekends a year. What makes cockroaches such great survivors?
Well, they will eat just about anything, right? They are not limited by their food choice like many insects. There are some insects that only eat something or another. The other one is that they are very good about preserving their condition. And if they don't have much food, they can just go quiet and stay in one place and not use a whole lot of energy. And as long as they are not desiccating, they will survive. So basically, because they're able to eat just about anything, for instance, we have what we call wood roaches that will normally eat wood. But we had a student here in the department that his experiment was to put cockroaches in a box that was all made out of wood. There was nothing else for that cockroach to eat. And, you know, American cockroaches, which are not wood roach, they actually munched on the wood itself, too.
Wow.
So they're survivors because they can vary things and they can find places to survive that are very small and away from places. And if, you know, and this is true for a lot of insects, if they don't have food for quite some time, they can just chill out there and do okay as long as they are not losing a whole lot of water from their body. They can go without food for a little bit longer than you would think that they would. And the other thing too is that they don't care about eating their own species, right? So cannibalism is
really
something that will occur. They will first eat the things that are already dead, but if you have too many cockroaches in one place and there is nothing else to eat, then they may munch on each other's antennas and other places.
Wow. I had no idea. The Donner Party in insect form. Yeah.
They don't have a whole lot of morals.
Are there any particular chemical controls that you'd recommend? For instance, I know there are the little white pills that people put out.
For cockroaches, what is usually recommended are roach baits. And there are several roach baits in the market. A lot of them are not available for the consumer to buy, but there are quite a few that work well. The sprays that you get, those are not usually the most efficient because they will kill the ones that are there and get hit by the spray. But a lot of them don't stay there long enough to have an effect over the population in general. My recommendation, of course, if you have a more serious problem with cockroaches, is always to go to pest control operators and companies that do this for a living, and they will have the right tools. They will know exactly where to place baits and other products, and they will have more some products that are not available for the consumer market. It's always good to have a professional that comes in and does that. But the number one thing to do is do not feed your roaches. And the number two thing to do is do not let them come into your house. Having barriers that prevent the cockroaches from coming to the house, those roaches that are living outside, is also very important.
Are there any species that regard the cockroaches as prey?
Yeah, a lot of things, especially if the cockroaches are already dead, a lot of ants will eat them. Rodents like to eat cockroaches, and they will catch them alive. Birds can catch them and other things that live outdoor. So they are not without enemies themselves. For these cockroaches that live in sewage system, there are rodents and other things there that may attack them too. Some roaches, they have a foul smell, right? And that's their protection too. So they can, you know, protect themselves by emitting something. This is very common with the Florida woods cockroach. It smells really bad. And if you touch them, they will actually spray a chemical on you. So for small animals, that they will likely spray that and hit the eye, and that thing is really bad. So they have protections.
No radioactive spiders biting people, though, right?
Not that I know, but
I figured if that happened in Florida, it would have been a radioactive cockroach. Excuse me, palmetto bug. Palmetto bug.
Get your terminology correct.
Yeah,
that's right.
Dr. Roberto Pereira from the University of Florida, entomologist, has been our guest. Thank you so much, doctor. We appreciate it, and we will keep the roaches out of our homes by sealing them off and not feeding them. That's the lesson today. What gives you the willies, Craig?
Well, I mean, you know, besides a roach in the ear.
I think that would give anyone the doctor wonders why that got into people's minds, so to speak. And the irony there is tremendous. But just the idea of, I mean, we've all had bugs fly in our ears or our nose or our mouth or something. And, you know, that you feel it in there and it's wriggling and you just want to get it out. So I can understand why that captivated the imagination of people and horrified them so greatly.
9 days.
Yeah.
It was in there for 9 days. 9 days, I think, is the thing that got people's attention. Something like that happened to my dad when I was a kid. My dad was a land surveyor, so he was outdoors a lot. He noticed after, you know, I guess it had been going on for 2 or 3 days that he couldn't really hear out of one ear, and he didn't know what was going on. And so mom bugging, you know, he's one of those tough guys that never likes to go to the doctor. Yeah. Mom bugging him finally got him to go to the doctor's office. And they found out that a bee had flown into his ear and gotten trapped in the wax. Mm. And so they, you know, they had to flush it out. And, you know, I was there. They showed it to him.
Oh, really?
Like, yeah. Okay. That's something I didn't know I have to worry about. But yeah.
Well,
and apparently again, never stung him. It was a very small bee.
On behalf of Craig Pittman, I would like to apologize for our sponsor, Hip Camp, as today's episode has focused on solid waste and cockroaches as we try and invite people to our beautiful state here. Hip Camp. Now, fortunately, this can be
palmetto bugs. Remember, they're just palmetto bugs.
Palmetto bugs and biosolids. That's what we're going with. Now, fortunately, this will be our little secret, Floridians. And what Hip Camp wants right now is not you to visit anywhere, but if you are a landowner in Florida, they want you to rent out your property to host outdoor enthusiasts on your property through Hip Camp. All you need is a flat spot where someone can pitch a tent or park an RV. So if you've got a place to share, get started today. Visit hipcamp.com/land, and you can host folks on your schedule, earn up to $1,000 a month. You get paid every week via PayPal or direct deposit. Hip Camp handles the insurance. If you've got a roach infestation, if you've got solid waste on your property, why don't you pass on the opportunity? No one's going to enjoy that.
Yeah, nobody's going to call that Hip.
No. And the Yelp reviews will not be great. The view was wonderful. Everything except the solid waste and the roaches were fantastic. That is not the welcome to Florida.
Palmetto bugs. Yes. They were palmetto bugs.
No. Yeah, that is not the welcome we're looking for.